as normally, we're going to do several different passages of Scripture. We'll give them to you as we go along. You may want to write some of these down. We were doing a series before Christmas, asking God and having our prayers answered. Basically, how do we pray to have our prayers answered? And we've said that there's a number of ways that the Bible tells us and that God expects us to pray, but also He doesn't just expect us to pray. When Jesus' disciples asked Him to teach Him how to pray, as we've said earlier, they were not just asking Him to give them some words to say like the Lord's Prayer. They were asking Him how to pray because they'd seen Him pray and had been a witness to His prayers being answered. So they were asking not just how to pray, but they were asking how to pray in order to have their prayers answered. As the Bible says in some places, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. We have not, James says, verse 7, chapter 4, we have not because we ask not. Also tells us that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And God tells us that He wants us to pray, and He wants us to ask. And so we need to learn how to ask God and what we're supposed to pray and how we're supposed to pray so we can have our prayers answered. Amen? How many of you as Christians have had your prayers answered? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have your prayers answered? God loves us. He wants to answer our prayers. Amen? And above all, He wants us to have a relationship with Him. So, in Luke chapter 11, I want to read there. Well, let me read Matthew chapter 7 first. Matthew 7, chapter 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given to you." This is Jesus speaking to the disciples and to those who were listening to Him. "Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. "Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him." So God doesn't want us just to ask for certain specific things. He does want us to do that, but He wants us to ask Him for all kinds of things. He wants to bless us, not just in a religious sense, but in an everyday sense, as we've talked about. He wants to supply our needs according to your riches in glory. He wants us to pray for others that their needs would be supplied. He wants us to pray when we're going to purchase a house or an automobile or have our bills paid or whatever, find a job or whatever we want from Him. We know that He's all-powerful and He can do everything. So as He was praying in Luke chapter 11 tells us that as He was praying in a certain place, when He'd ceased praying, one of His disciples asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught His disciples. And you can find this in Luke 11, chapter 1. Also, you can find it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 17. So, one of the most amazing things in my life that I learned at an early age is that I can talk to God, my Heavenly Father, and that He hears me. I think that's amazing. We have the most powerful being in all of creation that we can come before His throne of grace and enter that place because we're worthy because we've been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come into our Heavenly Father's throne room and we can ask and He hears us. Now, I think He answers some of our. I think He answers every one of our prayers. Does that shock you? Sometimes He answers no, not right. You know, Sometimes he answers, well, wait a minute, wait. And sometimes he answers, it'll be a little bit. And sometimes he answers it right away and it doesn't take long. Amen? Let me ask you this. How many of you have had a need, a financial need or physical need or mental need or a job need or a relationship that's not kind of going sour or, you know, with children or teenagers? And don't tell me that everybody has perfect teenagers, because I know that. At 84 years old and having raised three, and then I have grandkids that are having, I have great grandkids. I know what teenagers can do and what they can be. So we've all prayed for different things and different and had our prayers answered. We can talk to God and He knows. And I've shared some of those stories with you through the course of this series. But let me just get to it. So one of the ways that God wants us to pray and have our prayers answered is we find here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, we're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock. And to me, and He tells us that our Heavenly Father will hear us. And so we've spent some time on this. I'm just going to touch on it as we go. So the first thing that we need to understand is that when we pray to come before our Father and ask Him for something, we don't want to ask in doubt or fear. We ask in expectation. I'm expecting an answer from God. I don't know whether it'll be yes or no or later or what it will be, but I'm asking, when I'm praying for somebody in some situation, and sometimes as I am praying for somebody, I don't know really what to expect in their lives, because I don't know what all is going on in their lives. But I can pray with expectation that God knows what's going on in their lives. Amen? And we can pray that way, that God knows what's going on in their lives, and that He loves them, and that we can pray then with expectation. When we pray the prayer of faith, the faith is not one of just hope so, think so, make so, maybe so. Faith is I pray in expectation. So the first thing that I need to know, or we need to understand, is that we don't just come to God and say words. Especially now, we can praise Him and worship Him, and we should do that before we do anything else. Amen. We're supposed to worship Him and praise Him and to walk in faith, and to walk with the Lord means that we walk daily with Him, and that we're in a relationship with Him. And let us, Bible tells us, speaking to God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord. That's a daily thing for everyone who's a Christian. Now, we don't all do that, but we should. And when we don't, then we need to recognize that, you know, that doesn't mean, I need to say this, I just do whatever the Lord tells me to do here. That doesn't mean we have to put our minds on everything and we have to set our minds and affections on something, because there's a lot of times when, you know, like when I've been working, I've worked all my life, construction, engineering, all kinds of different things and places, with companies. And I know what it means to be very busy on a job or have people working for me that I have to take care of. And what I'm saying is, I realize that as we're going through our day-to-day routines in our lives, that we have our job to do, and our minds are fixed on that. You with me? But inside, in our spirits, we have a conscience. And that's where we have to learn how to hear God's voice. And that's where, even though we have our minds focusing on taking care of our husband or a wife, or dealing with a teenage problem or children or a business or a job or whatever we're doing, inside of us, in our spirit, we can have a song going on. You know that? We can have a song going on. And in that, we can just... It's kind of like working on your job, and you're working and you're doing your thing, but in the background you have the radio on and the music's going and you can hear the music. Amen? And that's what God is talking about. When we when we trust Him and we're at peace, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When we start out in the morning, and when I used to start out in the morning, this is the day God's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in that. I'm going to depend on Him. I'm going to trust Him to get me through the day, to help me do my job. Amen. So I can make a living. Praise God. And I'll have decisions that I need to make on a job with people or with situations that need to be changed. There's meetings with people and about how what's gone wrong on a particular project or contract or whatever, and all of these things. But inside of me, I can be trusting the Lord, and I can be praising Him and thanking Him and letting Him know that I'm depending on Him. And sometimes, as I've shared with you over the past years, there's been times when I've been called unexpectedly into a business meeting, and here I am, and everybody's sitting around, the contractors and the engineers, and they're looking to me because I'm the project manager. I didn't even know they were going to have a meeting. I come in from lunch, and they said, the secretary says, go to the conference room. They're waiting on you. And that's when I sure needed some prayer. And when they talk about the problems, said, okay, you're out there, what, so how are we going to answer this? And they don't know, but I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, how do we answer this? Now, I was working for an engineering firm, and I had mechanical engineers, civil engineers, structural engineers, instrument engineers, piping engineers. I had all kinds of engineers. If I could get on the phone, I could call them and ask them if I needed help, and they could give me some help. But whenever you come into a business and into an office and you're told to go sit in the conference room and then they're asking you a question, you don't have time to get on the phone and call your engineers. So I call the best engineer that there is. Amen. He knows everything. And that's what he's told me. He knows everything. And sometimes in such cases as that, I've heard things. I said, Lord, God, tell me what. And things started coming out of my mouth that I was just really shocked about. I thought, you know, I knew, I guess, but I didn't know that I knew. Whatever. You understand what I'm talking about? God wants a relationship with us more than anything else in this world. He loves us so much. Every day. Early in the morning, I think He wants to just put His arms around us and say, hey, I love you. Amen? And I want this to be the best day for the rest of your life. And I want you to walk with me, and I want you to have fellowship with me, and I want to enjoy fellowship with you, and let's just walk together. And the only way we can do that, because I say this because so many religious people just think, you know, they kind of put God and religion off in a separate room or a separate category, and he doesn't really have anything to do except maybe on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or when they're trying to do something for God or whatever. But God wants to do something for us every day. And that's how we develop a relationship with Him. We talk to Him, ask Him, pray with Him. You don't have to go to the closet and shut your door and get on your knees. Now, that helps. Fasting helps. There's a lot of different things helps. But remember that we have a relationship with Him, and He tells us that your Father, which is in heaven, wants to give good things to them that ask Him. Amen? So I ask Him about everything. I talk to Him. But I don't ask with doubt or worry or fear. I ask with expectation. I'm going to have to hurry. Okay, the second thing that we said is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching any one thing that they will ask. So we have the prayer of an agreement. We're talking about how to get our prayers answered. So sometimes we need to call in somebody. It's good to have a wife or a husband, even some teenagers or a church member or somebody that works on the job with you, whoever, you can say, hey, I need some help praying about this. I don't exactly know how I need to pray about this. So the Bible tells us here we're going to act on the Scriptures. You know, we always act on the Word of God. Amen? So we pray with the expectation. Now we can get somebody to agree with us. And I don't have to say this, but that doesn't mean to pray for some stupid thing. That just means He supply our needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I don't get it. I don't get down on my knees and say, God, I want a $5 million home, and I want it to have a big swimming pool and Olympic swimming pool, and I want a two Cadillacs and a Lincoln Continental and a nice twin engine airplane that I can fly, and a lot of money. Are you with me? All I need is Him. All we need is Him. And if we have Him, we have everything we need. And if we don't have something, it's either because He lets us know that we don't need it right then, or we haven't asked for it. And if we do need it, then we need to ask for it. And I can tell you some stories about that too, and anticipating and expectation, a prayer of agreement. But we can get people to agree with us. The next thing, and I'm kind of reviewing some of this because it's been 3 weeks or so since we touched on it. The prayer of expectation. Secondly, the prayer of agreement. Matthew 21, verse 21 says you have to pray the prayer of faith or belief. He says in Matthew 21, 21, Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree." This is when they saw the fig tree wither. He said, you'll not only be able to do that. I'm going to stop. Any of you have a fig tree that needs to wither? Are you with me? We're talking about practical things. He went expecting it's time for the figs. It wasn't time for the figs. And he was expecting something from nothing. It was a time when that fig tree should be producing. And he went there to get something to eat, and it wasn't. So he just said, "Nothing grow on you from this time forth." Well, when they came back, they saw that fig tree had been dried up from the roots. So what he's telling us is that, and he said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." No, I haven't dried up a fig tree. But in my 60-some-odd years of marriage, I have seen what you would call some fig tree impossible situations that God has dealt with me with and told me to pray for, and I've seen Him deal with them, and I've seen Him take care of them, and they were some impossible things. And some very, very, I don't even have time to get into it, the weird and crazy, unusual circumstances that I didn't know that God wanted to do that. I just trusted Him to use me to help take care of that situation, and boy, He did in a way that I wasn't expecting. But it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing, because all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen? Praise God. Now, we don't go around just asking anyone. Prayer, faith. Prayer. We have to pray in believing. If you have faith and you don't doubt, he says in verse 22 of Matthew 21, "All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now, what did he say there? All things. Now, I said that all things doesn't mean stupid things. You with me? The next thing, and this will kind of be a... So we have the prayer of expectation, the prayer of agreement, prayer of faith or belief, and then we have the prayer of knowing. Mark 10:37 said, "They said unto him, grant unto us that we may set one on." See, James and John had been following Jesus, had left all to follow him. They were expecting, and this is the other thing, is we need, has to do with expectation. I don't have time to get into that lesson right now, but they expected, he was a king. Amen? He was the King of Jews. And they knew that. And they'd been following him, let's say, for at this point in time, maybe 3 years. And they were expecting him. He was fixing to go into Jerusalem. He was the King of the Jews. Where does a king go? To Jerusalem. That's the capital. Supposed to be the king there. So they've been following him. And this is another thing we read in the scriptures. Oh, man, I get off sometimes. We need to understand that he tells us some things along the way that to get our thinking straight and to get our thinking in line with him. So he had explained to them several times along the way that I'm going into Jerusalem and the Son of Man is going in Jerusalem and there he's going to be crucified. Now, they heard this. They heard him say this. But because their mindset was, he's the king, he's going in to set up a kingdom, and he was. But the problem is, he was setting up a much bigger kingdom than what they thought. So that what he was sharing with them as they were going through their lives and following him, and he knew that their expectation was wrong. Are you with me? This is what it's saying. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday and today forever, folks. Amen? Do you think you ever have to have a change of mind about something? You think God knows? Oh, my goodness. We sure need to learn how to hear his voice, don't we? And to listen to what he's saying. And if he says things to us, and oftentimes over the years he has said things to me, he said, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would say, I don't understand that. Please help me to understand. So that's, if he says something to me that I don't understand, then I need some understanding. So that's here it applies. You have not because you ask not. If you need understanding, like he says in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. So wisdom is not just knowledge in my head full of information like an encyclopedia. Wisdom is knowledge that we receive from God and from his word and by the Spirit of God. And wisdom is not that knowledge applied in our lives in the appropriate way. You follow me? A wise man is somebody who has some understanding, but he's not just has a man that's full of information in his head, but he's a man or woman or whoever, a Christian that hears what God says and then knows how to apply what God said in the daily life. And that's what develops a relationship with him. And that's what gets us then to knowing him. I know a whole lot more now after 6 years of walking with him than I knew when I first started out. When I first started out, I didn't even know how I got saved or why I got saved or what it means to be saved. I just heard the word of God that says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And when I realized that my wife was about to kill me or divorce me, and then I wasn't going to have a relationship with her unless I quit doing all the wild things that I was doing. And I was pretty wild. You wouldn't maybe know that now. But if you'd have known my mom and dad when I was 17, 18, 16, 15, when I went to sign to get into the military, my dad had to sign for me because I was not quite 18. I never seen such a smile come on anybody's face in all my life. I said, sign these papers. We couldn't wait. Praise God for a good dad. So, this is how we develop a relationship. The prayer of faith, the prayer of knowing. We know. He says in Mark 10:37, but Jesus said to him, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drank and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptizing? And they understood that. They said we could, and that was right. But they were thinking he was coming back to the story. They were thinking he was coming into his kingdom. He was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and they wanted to be seated on his right hand and on his left hand. Now, how many of you understand that they didn't understand that he was setting up a kingdom, but it was through the kingdom that he was setting up was the kingdom of God that was going to be brought about by his death, burial, and resurrection. And they weren't talking about, I want to be on the right side and the left side hanging on the cross with you. And that's another story. Because Jesus said, he that findeth his life will lose it. We're so busy that when we first start out trying to know God, we're trying to find everything. We're trying to do this. We're trying to get this. We're trying to get that. Or maybe we just come and say, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord, but we don't really understand what we're saying. You with me? Because he said to a lot of people that were calling him Lord, why do you call me in Luke chapter 6, I think it is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I'm saying to you? So I didn't understand when I come to an altar in the church about on this side of the pulpit and knelt down on my knees, not this church, but some other one. I didn't know even how to pray. I just said, God, I need you. He loved me so much, he knew what I needed. Amen. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called, and I was saved. But boy, I didn't ever know what all I was going to have to go through with after I was saved. I didn't know I was going to have to give. So I did come to the place, though, where I said, not because I feared him or I was afraid he was going to knock me on the head or beat me up, but I came to the place because I loved him. I loved him because of what he did for me. Romans 5, what? 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. So, I realized that God loved me. And whenever I heard a minister preaching on a Wednesday night, a youth minister, and I was 19 at that time, and he said, I want y'all to come and give your life to the Lord. I didn't know what that really meant. And I've told that, I'm not going to go into that, but I talked to my pastor. He said, thank God he was a wise pastor. You don't have to surrender to be a missionary. You don't have to surrender to be an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or all of those things. You just give yourself to the Lord. He'll tell you what he wants you to be. And so that next Sunday morning, I went down because I had felt the Lord and because I knew he loved me. And because he loved me and he'd given his very best for me, his love was shed abroad in my heart, and I loved him, and I wanted to give him my life. So when I came that next Sunday, that was a commitment, an act of my free will where I said, Lord, I love you. Here I am. Do whatever you want to do with me. And I didn't have the foggiest idea of what that was. But I knew if he gave his life for me and I loved him, I needed to give my life to him. So if any man wants to find his life, he's going to have to lose it. So if you really want to, I'm getting into so many different things. The prayer of knowing, we need to know what it is. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him if we ask anything according to his will. 1 John 5:14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15 says, and we know. Everybody say, no. Do we know? And we heard from him. Do we know that if he hears us, whatsoever ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Let me ask you this. Let's just use this example. I don't know if I've preached on this before. When I was going through this series 3 weeks ago, when I was going, I was just going to get on to the last two this morning, and I'm going through a review now. But do you have a loved one, somebody that you know, a relative or a friend that's lost, and you know they're separated from God and they're without hope and without God in this world, and if they die, they're going to slip out into eternity without God and spend eternity in hell, and they're lost and you want them to be saved? You have somebody like that? What is God's will? What does God say in His Word about that? We're talking about knowing, right? And praying what we know if we ask according to His will. Did you know there's a scripture in the Word of God that answers that? Try 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's one of them. Another one that talks about if God would grant repentance in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 20. If God would grant repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all. So you, when you pray for somebody that's lost, you can pray with expectation that God wants to save them. You're praying according to the will of God. Amen? And I don't know how long it's going to take. I've been praying for a lot of people. And for some of them, for years. And I prayed for a lot of people, and sometimes it didn't take very long. I saw God change their lives. Amen? But some of them are more stubborn. They were like, you know, some people are more stubborn than others. God has to get their attention. But He's still not willing that they perish. So I've heard of some people that are killed in car. In fact, we were talking about this the other day. My daughter and I and son-in-law were talking about a book and a movie that was, I think it was called Beyond It Back. Any of you ever read the book or see the movie? It's about people, came out in the 60s. It was about people who had died and were pronounced dead. And some of them, I remember one had been dead for 4 days. It flew his body back from I think Europe, and he was in a morgue, and one of the nurses went in there for some reason, saw a sheet moving, looked over there, and he was alive. I know one girl in that book, true stories about people that have been dead and then have been pronounced dead and had a death certificate to prove that they were dead, but they were brought back to life. So, and every one of them that I saw in that book and then in that movie that were dead and came back to life, they immediately got right with God. And they were saved. And one of them or two of them became ministers. Boy, you talk about that change of life. I remember once in, I was standing over my body, looking at my dead body laying there in the room of the hospital, and the nurses and the doctors working around me trying to revive me. I got news for you. If you hadn't been born again, you're dead. We're all born in this world dead in trespasses and sins. And salvation is, first of all, being renewed and born again by the Spirit of God. Being born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you're going to have to be born again. Nicodemus said, wait a minute. I can't go back and get in my mother's womb to be born. He said, I'm not talking to you about that. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is the Spirit is spirit. You have to be born of the water and the Spirit. in order to keep into the kingdom of God. Man, this I don't know. I'm enjoying it. This is good stuff. I need to hear this. We need to be reminded of all of these things. Prayer of expectation, prayer of agreement, prayer of belief, prayer of knowing. Luke 11, 1 is 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 5 is the prayer of persistence. That's when he said, Lord, teach us to pray. In Luke 11, verse 1 and verse 9, he said, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. It's really saying there in the original, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. You with me? If you really want something when you were a kid, now I just use this as a stupid kind of illustration. You didn't just go say, "Mom," and maybe you wanted a bicycle or tricycle or whatever. Mom, Dad, all of these other kids have this bicycle and I want a bicycle. They don't pay any attention to you. But if you want it bad enough and you know they can afford it, and everybody else has one, then you want one, right? And you can't get it. And this is kind of a silly thing. The point is you don't give up. You just keep on asking. And I ask for a lot of things when I, you know, shut up, quit asking for that. Yeah. Did you get that, right, Jim? I did too. I know, or it would be, I know you want that, and I intend to get that for you someday, but now is not the right time to get that. You're not able to handle that right now. God talks to us. You say, what do you mean he talks to you? Well, have you ever read the Bible? What did Jesus say? How many of his sheep do we have here this morning? What did he say? My sheep hear my voice. Yeah, and they follow me. They don't hear the voice of a stranger. Amen? Are you with me? My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. Now, that's a learned thing. You don't just get born again and become a Christian and you know the voice of your mom and dad. I mean, it's stupid to see a 6-month-year-old baby laying in the bed and the mom and dad are come over there and say, get up out of that bed and start walking. I got some things I want you to do. I knew mine. And I thought that's what he was trying to do to me. Well, you know, see, Christians don't understand some of the basic things about Christianity is that the Bible says, grow. Everybody say grow. Oh, boy. Grow in the grace. That means grow in your love. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy. How do we grow? I'm trying to try to grow. I've been trying to have faith. Can I ask you a question? Where are you in the study and the learning of God's Word? Now, in case you have a problem with that, I'm going to have to shut up with this, but there's a book out there that's called the Bible. It's God's Word. And I don't care whether it's King James Version, New King James Version. I wouldn't recommend all of the versions that are out there because they've been changed. But if you want to get one that comes pretty close, get the New King James Version. Now, if you want to have faith and you're going to grow, you ask God about it. How do I have faith? How do I grow? And what? You tell me. Brother, let's just quote the scripture. You're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, how do I grow? Well, he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So, some Christians, they get saved. Well, they say they do, and I hope they do. First thing they want to do is get off over. You know, the Bible then tells us later on, desire the meat of the Word. So we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by getting the milk of the Word and by developing a relationship with Him and getting into the Word of God. And as we go along, the milk becomes pablum and the pablum becomes, you know, how do you feed a baby? You don't see a year-old, two-year-old sitting in a high chair trying to eat pablum and say, hey, I'm throwing that stuff away here. This is a T-bone steak. I want you to stick your gums into that. But there's a lot of ministers and preachers and people that are in the Christian realm out there. They want to get you over in, as soon as you're born again by the Spirit of God, they want to get over in the book of Revelations. They want to, I want to get some of this meat. And they choke on it too. Spiritually choke. You don't grow that way. In the natural world, you don't grow that way in the spiritual realm either. Well, I didn't get to where I wanted to get, but I guess I got where God wanted me to get. So we'll continue this. Good Lord willing, next Sunday. I think there's 9 of these. 8 or 9. There's several of them. We need to understand them so we can apply them in our lives and know what to expect and what God wants to do in our lives. I'm going to tell you this right now. One of the things that the enemy's done will do in Christians' lives, and you might as well just get ready for it. He tries to fight. You know, there's spiritual warfare. This is the reason why we need to grow, because we're going to have to get into spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and take the shield of faith and sword of the Spirit and helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness and shod with the preparation of gospel feet, shoes. And, you know, that's something we have to do. God don't do that for us. We have to put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. So I want to tell you, because along with that spiritual warfare, how does the enemy defeat us? Look up here, right here. You're a failure. God doesn't love you. Look what you did over here. I'm talking about since you became a Christian. Too. Look what you did there. That's not going to answer your prayers. You did this and you did that and you failed here and you failed there. Boy, he knows how to put his finger on it too. And so he tries to fill us with fear and doubt and condemnation. That's where the spiritual warfare comes in. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now, everybody say now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So when you have doubts of fear and condemnation coming into your mind, guess where they're coming from? Well, I want to shut up. Don't want to, but I will. Let's everybody stand. Anybody want to come to the altar? This is not to join our church. If you want to do that, you can come tell us you want to join our church. But if you, we're not looking for church members. We're just looking for people to love the Lord and get, have their lives changed by God. So that doesn't mean we don't have church members. We do. But our purpose here is to bring people up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to help them. And in order to do that, there's a lot of times over my process of the years that I've had to come to the altar and pray and say, Lord, I forgive me, I did this or I did that. And so if anybody needs to come to the altar, you come on right at this time. This is our closing prayer, and we'll pray with you. And if you want us to, we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. But if you have any, you have something you need to do and God's speaking to you, Holy Spirit wants you to come to the altar. Come on right now. Anybody, anywhere. We're going to be dismissed. Okay? I pray for you that you'll be filled with His Spirit and all wisdom and understanding. You'll not only be blessed, but you'll be a blessing to those around you. In Jesus' name. Brother Scott Shaler, Brother Scott's our associate pastor, by the way. Mary's his wife. She plays the piano. And they've been faithful, and we love them and trust them. Dismiss us, Brother Scott, please. Thank you. Bless you.